Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome back to Shollycast, everyone. I'm Hydro with Dr. X once again. And in this episode, we are joined by Sweet Bo. Welcome, Sweet Bo.
Thank you very much. The first thing you did was drink a sip of water, and I went, wow, these guys are professional.
Yes, we are. We just go right into it. That's all we need is a little bit of a throat clearing, and then we're ready to go. There's quite a few interesting topics that I think we're going to get into this episode, but we always like to start off with the classic question to you, which is, how did you get into Lolly/Shota? Like, what intrigued you into it?
It was completely on accident. I had no idea what it even was, but my first big thing I was a fan of was Black Butler back in my middle school days. And it was just because it was just so normal to me from the get-go that I didn't even realize that it wasn't a normal, like a very like popular thing in high school when I started getting friends who were more online.
Was it the relationship between, I think his name is Seal, and the butler, Sebastian?
Yes. It was just a very interesting dynamic to me. And the concept of, you know, having a big, strong demon butler who serves you is, I think, every gay middle schooler's dream.
Yes, I can see why that might appeal to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think I started drawing it myself probably sometime after college when I started on my own mental health journey and realized, wow, this is really helping me.
Oh, so drawing that helped you for your mental health?
Yeah, because I mean, I was on pretty much the same boat as a lot of like teens are in high school when they try to like make their drawings kind of suit everyone else's palette. And that was not very good for me. But then I started, you know, going back to my roots, being like, you know, maybe I should just go back to things I enjoy, like Black Butler and like little Shota animes like that. So I started drawing it, and you wouldn't guess, drawing stuff true to you is great for your psychology.
That is true. I think that applies to not just to drawing, but content creation in general. When you make something that you're really passionate about, it really does speak to your soul, I think. So I'm glad that you had that experience as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I definitely would like hide it a little bit when I started off. But the second best thing that ever happened to me was getting permabanned from Twitter 3 times.
well, it's never a bad thing when you no longer have to be on Twitter anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry, X. So which in itself makes you not want to even be on there when it's just called X now.
Truly, truly a very unappealing website name.
Unappealing name for an unappealing website.
Yeah.
A lot of our guests have been banned from Twitter, as it turns out.
Yes. It's a double-edged sword website. I get the reason why people go on there, because you can get a ton of followers, but you know, all the crap that comes along with it usually is not worth it. And that's why there's great websites like Brag.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I, at the moment, have to have a Twitter for my non-Lolly Show account because as a job, I am a traveling seller for anime conventions. But as soon as I run out of business cards, I am deleting my Twitter and putting my Tumblr on all my cards.
Oh, so you actually are using Tumblr.
I never left. I've been on Tumblr since I was 11, and I am turning 26 this year.
Damn, wow. So you've probably got like one of the super early accounts then of Tumblr. So I forget when Tumblr started. When did Tumblr first launch? I forget.
I'm not entirely sure, but I will tell you, I was in the era where there was no private messaging, and the only way you could text people was by sending them fan mail.
Oh my God, wow. I can't believe they didn't have private messaging when it first started. Oh my God.
Are you familiar with how they implemented private messaging on Tumblr?
I'm actually not.
Was it like I think it was like a kind of like a messenger sort of thing.
It was only a few select people were getting access to DMs, and the only way you could get it was if someone DM'd you first and they spread it like a virus.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Oh, that is an interesting way of spreading the system and getting it working. That is curious. I would imagine there was plenty of direct messages about people doing shipping wars and stuff like that.
I was an avid Tumblr user where people are getting doxxed over not deserving their fandom-based usernames.
Oh my God, that is something. So were you there when Tumblr banned porn then?
Oh yes, I was definitely there, and I watched the whole thing go down from the sidelines. I did have my art blog suspended, but I didn't post much on there at the time anyways. But it was, I don't know, watching the rise and fall and then the steady, I'd say, grave digging of Tumblr has been very exciting.
Yeah, the banning porn was definitely part of the grave digging, that's for sure. I mean, a lot of people were on there because of the porn, or even if they weren't like super into the porn, the porn was such a big part of the website that it just affected everything else too when it was banned.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can they have allowed artistic nudity back on Tumblr, which is a step in the right direction, I think.
Oh yeah, it definitely is, and hopefully they don't step back from that like Twitch did.
Yeah, like I was really expecting Twitch to go that route, to go with the artistic nudity, but they even rolled that back. So Tumblr's ahead of them in that one.
Interestingly, on Tumblr, pornographic material is detected through like some kind of a non-human system, I believe. So a lot of furry porn cannot be detected.
The breaking the system.
I just picture an AI system just scanning through the stuff, and they're just like, oh, I see fur on this. It can't be porn.
Truly a massive win for Tumblr furries.
It is. That's so funny that it does that.
The internet is a beautiful place.
So you did have an NSFW account there back that was banned because of the porn ban. Is that right?
Yes. I've been trying to get back in it, but it's a bit difficult for me to really gain traction on Twitter or Tumblr or sites like those, because I really don't do a lot of fan art. I do a lot of OCs and other people's OCs, and that's something that really only gets traction on places like Barrag, which is why I enjoy it there so much.
That is true, because Barrag being one of the places that allows Lolly and Shota, you can get by just doing your own OCs, since people are, they want the content, even if it's not like just fan art of some character.
It's also quite welcoming towards OCs, I've noticed. It's been very nice.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, Barrag, I noticed, does tend to have a lot of OCs, and it's cool. I like seeing all these original characters being posted and created by all these different people. It's super cool, because normally, like, you know, if you go on Twitter, for example, it's mostly like whatever the flavor of the month is going to get posted, which is, you know, that's fine, and that's always enjoyable too. But it's cool when you get like a nice balance of lots of OCs along with like fan art from established shows or animes or games or anything.
Oh, absolutely. It's so lovely.
Now, for people who don't know already, what kind of work do you do? Like, what kind of art or what kind of genres or, you know, fetishes or topics do you cover with your art?
I cover a lot of dark kinks in my fiction. I like to say I put my OCs in the trauma box and shake it as hard as I can. I also have a lot of like original stories that I've just recently started on with some of my furry OCs, mostly because when I'm drawing like comic style, it's a bit easier to get consistency with anthropomorphic faces. Mm. But I think that you can see a lot of just like kind of darker, more taboo kinks on that I put my OC through on my Brog account and Ink Bunny as well.
A lot of writers do like to put their characters into darker scenarios and see what happens from that.
It's a type of self-therapy. I've discussed with a few different professionals about it just to get their takes on it. And it's definitely a kind of like rewriting the narrative in a space you have full control over. It can be very therapeutic and even fun for a lot of people.
Yeah, have you seen that little clip from, trying to remember what the show was called, but it was like, basically it was this character talking to the therapist, and the therapist was saying that for some people who went through something, some kind of experience, that they might be interested in certain kinds of fiction or scenarios or like role-playing, where they have full control of what happens, and that can be healing for them.
I have, yeah. I don't remember the show, but it is a very good, very well thought scene from that show that has a lot of really good like mental health advice in it.
Oh, so you did see that little scene?
Yeah, it's the one where they're bird characters, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm familiar with it. Very good clip.
Yeah, I was planning to put that in the mental health episode that we're planning to do on Chollycast. And one of the things that I do like, well, I like many things about that little scene, but one of them is that the therapist says that person might be into a certain kind of role-playing or fantasy or whatever, even if they didn't have any kind of trauma or bad experience in the past. And I think that's very important because there might be some people who think they had to go through some like specific thing in their life to be into some sort of taboo fiction or whatever, or to have some kind of fantasy and for it to be okay or something.
Like a prerequisite.
Yeah.
I have a very specific example of that I've noticed in myself and quite a few of my friends, where people with DID, dissociative identity disorder, we will have pseudo memories, which is basically artificial memories we've created out of bits and pieces of our past that play out much more like a show or a comic. And a lot of people tend to draw those out and make character interjects as well to kind of work those out on paper. In a very welcoming community like Bragg, can be a very good place to do that.
Yeah, that's great that Bragg is welcoming for that. All this different stuff that we're talking about, including the Lion Shota stuff, but also the kind of darker scenarios in general that you like putting those characters through. I think I remember looking on your profile and seeing that you're into the darker stuff like gore, and I was also briefly looking at some of your art pieces, and I did see some of those kinds of art, like that kind of art genre where the characters are put through those scenarios.
Yeah, it's very soothing for me to draw. I'm not quite exactly sure why that aspect, but it just makes me feel, it just kind of resonates in a very peaceful side of me.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. I did see some art pieces that didn't have that kind of abuse or harm genre stuff. Are you into that kind of stuff as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as I briefly mentioned before, but different system members of mine have different kinks and preferences. And there are certainly some that just enjoy some very nice vanilla Lolly Show stuff as well.
Oh, sweet. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. It's like a rough mental illness to have. But one of the perks is we enjoy a lot of different genres.
I remember you mentioned Black Butler, but you also mentioned other Shota animes. Were there any other Shota animes that you particularly liked?
I cannot remember them right now, but I remember like clips and images in my memory of different similar shows I watched, but I unfortunately can't remember the names. It was such a long time ago that I used to watch the anime so regularly.
Is there anything that you're watching like now or more recently that you've that might have a Shota character in it that you like?
I have gotten back into, I've been rewatching One Piece for the first time since so long ago, and Luffy is someone that I interact, is a character that I interact with much differently now.
Oh, so you think that now that you got in deeper into the community or liking Lion's Shota, that you interpret that character differently?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, as much as I can say that's like very deep and very intellectual, he's literally made of rubber. That gives you a lot of possibilities.
I know that for another character called, what's Hyder, do you know the character from, fuck, what's it called? It's a superhero animated film, and the mom is like pretty much made out of rubber herself.
Oh, you mean Elastigirl? Yeah.
Yeah, and you know that does show that does get utilized in pornography.
Exactly.
Yes, it does, but big time. Yep. Yes, very frequently. Like she has like a ton of different artwork that utilizes that aspect of her.
It's such a fun concept.
Well, it is, because like a frequent thing that you see happen, at least in the Fuda community, is they love giving her like, there's like, oh well, I mean, if she can like elastic her body, then she could elasticize her clitoris and make like a giant penis and cool. And I'm just like, oh yeah, she technically could do that. Yes.
Listen, anything's possible if you got superpowers. More power to the artists.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, artists do have superpowers, essentially. I mean, remember that funny meme? I don't know if you've seen this one, Sweepo. It was really funny. It was like a couple of years ago. It was this piece of art somebody did where they just had like this person saying like, shut the fuck up, my friend's a porn artist, he can draw me fucking your mom or something. So it's really,
that's
really
one of my favorite artist memes around, absolutely.
I just love the shut the fuck. It's like that's how you put someone in their place. I love that, and that's what makes me think that like artists kind of, they do have superpowers. I mean, not only can they draw like whatever they can come up with in their crazy minds with their creativity, but also they do it at the speed of light. I mean, look at how fast like Pokemon art comes out. It's ridiculous.
Pokemon artists are truly at another level, and I fear and envy them.
Pretty much like within like 30 minutes of the announcement of some new Pokemon, you'll see porn of them. So that's pretty cool.
It's like on par with those super talented cosplayers that cosplay the characters 3 days after a trailer drops.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Kudos to those people as well. They're so talented.
I was boothing at a anime convention once, and I saw a pretty decent handful of characters from an anime that had come out like last week.
Damn, that's fast working.
I mean, do they just have like they must have like all the material ready on hand prior to just, they just have every single type of material, every color, every single thing ready. They're just like, okay, let's create this right now.
I have some friends who are pretty big cosplayers and fursuiters. They typically have like a whole room dedicated to materials. It's amazing.
Oh, I bet. I bet, because I mean, if you're dedicated to it, I mean that's. Yeah, I have always been fascinated by cosplay and like how creative people get and how detailed people get. It's crazy. Like, it's really fun to watch what people come up with.
Yeah, my New Year's resolution this year is to start cosplaying again. I used to do it a lot in high school, but I kind of stopped.
Oh, that would be cool if you do start up again.
What were some of your favorite, or what were some of like your highlight cosplays that you did?
Oh my god, I got tragically popular amongst Danganronpa fans for my Komaida cosplay back in high school.
He's one of the protagonists, is that right?
He's like the Sans Undertale of Danganronpa.
Oh my god. Oh, actually, I saw this video of him and Sans or whatever, and they were, it was like alongside the audio of Kanye West loves Fingers in His Ass or something.
Yes, Fingers in His Ass Sunday. Very good meme on Tumblr.
And Komaida was bald as well, and for some reason in the video. Yeah.
a lot of that. But I did have some other just really fun experiences. I was a fairly popular Shadow the Hedgehog cosplayer. I actually got proposed to in Shadow the Hedgehog cosplay by my fiance, who was cosplaying Sonic.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
That's a perfect, very memorable proposal story there.
Absolutely.
Then you and your SO must be extremely excited for that new Sonic game that got announced just like a couple days ago, where it's the Sonic Generations kind of remaster along with Shadow the Hedgehog, where you can play like these classic levels and stuff, as either Shadow's got his own set of levels and then you can play as classic Sonic or modern Sonic. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, me and my fiance are getting married this year, and I'm convinced that the Sonic Shadow Generations is a wedding gift from Nintendo themselves.
Nintendo would actually be very interesting if they did own the rights to Sonic, but it is Sega. But still, you know what, though? I like Sega more because they actually put their games on PC. Come on, Nintendo. We'll put your games on PC. I want to get all of your games on PC.
So true. I have so many Sonic games on PC. And I also have, like, I have over 400 hours on Sonic Adventure 2 Battle for the GameCube.
I totally understand that. Is the Chao probably right?
You know it.
Yep.
And you know I don't have that last emblem from the Chao Garden.
Yeah, there is one that's really hard to get, isn't there?
Yes, it's so hard to get. I've been at it for like actually 10 real life years.
Wow. Damn. Well, it keeps you into the game. That's why you stay in.
Absolutely.
I wonder if they ever will bring it back for another game. I think they should.
There are Chaos in the preview image for the upcoming Sonic 3 movie.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Hopefully that's a sign. Mm.
So, you know, they're coming.
And Jim Carrey's going to play Robotnik one more time, which, I mean, at this point, he might as well commit to it and just keep going.
I mean, yeah, he's pretty much sealed his own fate, let's be real.
Yeah, yep, he's been placed in there now, like, because nobody really cares about his henchman guy. I didn't. Like, I'd be like, yeah, who cares if the henchman guy is the bad guy in the third movie? I just want Dr. Robotnik, because that's the classic villain. That's a classic foil for Sonic and now Shadow in the third movie, which will be awesome.
So true. Was a big fan of Robotnik having just an absolute fanboy as a henchman. That's a very funny concept for a character. He's just a guy who's just really into Dr. Eggman.
Yeah, because
he got plucked out of the Sonic fandom.
Literally.
Yeah, because it reminds me, like, Snively way, way back in the day. For those of you who know Sonic Sadam and stuff and the Sonic comics,
oh, yes.
Like, Snively was like, he wasn't really much a fanboy of Robotnik. He was more like a true, like, kind of henchman, kind of. He was almost like a butler almost to Robotnik, just kind of doing his bidding and stuff like that. But yeah, like, it is funny to think there'd be like just a fanboy of Robotnik that would do whatever he asks.
Oh, yeah. I will say the casting crew. They knew exactly what they were doing, picking a very attractive man to play the biggest Robotnik fan in the world.
that is true.
I know some people ship those two characters together.
It's fun. It's a fun time.
Mm-hmm. So did you enjoy the films?
I did a lot. I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to Sonic stuff, considering most of the games are pretty much mostly just bugs. But I'm just a big fan of everything they did with the movie.
Oh, that's great.
I did enjoy the first movie. I did watch it. I would say, you know, this is a common problem that Hollywood has with these, like, different franchises with non-human characters. Is I don't think it was really necessary to have that human character who's kind of like the buddy of Sonic and stuff. Like, in my opinion, like, I think it would have been more fun if it just focused on Sonic and where he came from, because that was kind of cool, like, in the beginning, kind of like that when he was first initially born and, like, where he belonged. I wanted to know more about that. I didn't really want to hear about the human character and being like, oh, my gosh, what are you, like some kind of strange blue like creature? And I'm just like, yes, I get it. You're trying to make the non-Sonic fans relatable to it, but that's not who's watching the movie.
Yeah, I definitely understand them wanting to kind of do like a shout out to Sonic X with having the human sidekick, but they really could have gone more into Sonic, considering Chris is like from Sonic X, the most notoriously hated character in the entire Sonic franchise.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what? Actually, I think the Sonic movie would have been probably more fun if it was a younger kid as the sidekick to Sonic. I think that might have been a little more interesting than having just like an adult.
An adult man with a job and a paycheck.
Like, I thought it was goofy with Sam Witwicky in the Transformers movie. Like, that's another example of being like, no, we can't have it just be about Optimus Prime and fighting the Decepticons. It gotta have like a human in it who's just randomly thrown in there. It's just like, what are all these robots? I'm just like, no, I don't care. I just want the robots fighting each other. But at least he was younger. At least he was like a teenager, like late teenager. That so it made a little more sense.
With everything that Hollywood fails us, we always have some good anime to get us back on track.
So true. So fucking true.
I have been religiously watching the new Delicious in Dungeon anime every episode as soon as it comes out.
Love it. Yep. Dr. X and I just saw the most recent episode yesterday. we watch it all the time.
And same
we
here.
We were actually talking about, Dr. X showed me that it was really funny that the creator of Delicious in Dungeon was playing, I guess, Baldur's Gate 3. On Steam, like somehow like had like a, I don't know how they found out about it. Probably the creator like posted the picture of it and they like played like 120 hours or something like that.
Their creator actually officially took a undefined amount of time hiatus away from writing her manga to play Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's pretty, it makes a lot of sense though, because you can see so much influence from Dungeons and Dragons and Delicious in Dungeon.
Absolutely. I do have some Delicious in Dungeon art coming to my Barog soon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
I'm a fan of the manga, so I'll try to really minimize the spoilers, though.
Oh, that's very considerate. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always smart to do that. I mean, like usually that's the reason why artists tend to, like, whenever a show or an adaptation of a manga comes out, and like artists are like, all right, well, now the anime's out, and so people are going to be really interested in that. It's smart to always just go with the classic. All right, I'm just going to draw just one of the main characters doing something, and then you don't have to worry about the spoilers. It is funny though when like there's like an important spoiler from like a manga or an anime, and like it actually helps make like the porn art better if you include the spoiler. And it's just like, yeah, whatever, I'll do it. And then most people don't even care because they're just like, oh yeah, it's legit.
I will say, as a person who is mostly attracted to men, it is very good to see an anime that just really leans into people being really into dwarves.
I love dwarves.
Those sedgy panty shots really come in clutch.
I mean, why would you not want him on your team? I mean, he's like the most he's like the MVP of that entire group. You'd be screwed without him. He knows everything on how to cook stuff. He in the most recent episode, he like created like this cool thing to get rid of ghosts. And it's like, I would want him. He'd be my first pick for my team. So I will make him my waifu if I have to.
If Senshi cooked me a meal, I think it would cure me. Just of everything.
Now, one thing I've been curious about is when you started drawing more often, I think you said it was in college. Mm-hmm. Did that coincide also with drawing NSFW art, or did that come later?
I think they kind of happened simultaneously. Mm-hmm. I am a very hypersexual person just in my daily life, and giving myself the time to draw and kind of vent that side of me through drawing is just a very, not only productive, but also very helpful thing to do with my time.
Oh, I can see why you would want to draw NSFW pretty quickly after starting to draw in that case.
Absolutely.
At that time, did you draw a Lolly or Shota, or was it a general thing for NSFW?
I think I definitely started off with my adult characters. I started off with my Monster Hunter World OC, who I will hopefully be bringing back once I can dig up all the art of him that I unfortunately lost through the years. But it definitely started with probably drawing not human x human, but like human x more monster characters.
Was it something like humans getting fucked by the monsters?
Yeah, definitely.
I had a feeling.
That's definitely the route I chose first.
You know that this brings up a topic that Dr. X and I have talked about so much. And okay, so what is the deal with there being virtually no mangas and no anime that feature a human male and female anthro relationship? Why do they not exist?
That's actually a really good question. I have no idea. It really seems like there should be.
I know. Like, you do get female humans and male anthros. Like, that's all over the place. That's even in Western stuff. But it's and yes, you do get human. Now, I should clarify, you do get human male and female anthro in plenty of porn art. Like, it's all over the place in porn art. That's which is great. But it's like it doesn't exist in like anime.
Maybe we're just not looking in the right places. Maybe it does exist. It's just kind of like more niche and tucked away.
I've been wondering about that. Like if it exists in some manga, but for some reason it never reaches the English speaking audience. Because I've scoured various manga websites looking for something that wasn't just porn, that was a male human and female anthro, and I found jack shit pretty much.
Maybe I'll design some big monster girls myself.
That I incentivize you to do it. Activate your horny brain and do it. And yes.
You know what? I absolutely will. Once I catch up on my commissions and personal work, I'll cook up some big monster girls.
Cool. Yes. Yes. Because I love that dynamic. And you know what? I don't care what people say. I know that there is a big, big... There's a lot of popularity with the human ex anthro. I know there is. So the people who it's one of those. I'm not a furry, but those people, I know that they're into it big time.
I do have a short webcomic in the works of a male trainer and a Houndoom from Pokemon that I'm working on behind the scenes. So hopefully that'll lean a little bit towards it and I'll get me on the right track.
That'll be fun.
In terms of monsters or non-humans in general, I suppose, are there any kinds of species that you're particularly into making art of?
Definitely more of the like canine werewolf variety is something I lean towards too, but more of like a monstrous type werewolf than a traditional, like, I'm not sure what to call it, but basic wolf type. I really enjoy combining horror aspects with my porn art.
I'm just picturing like a worgen, because I think worgens kind of lean into that a little more.
Especially the male ones.
Yeah, the male ones, yeah.
I have a character I'm working with who was a wolf bitten by a werewolf and is a wolf every day, but turns into a semi-sapien, experience the horrors of knowledge, wolf man during the full moon, and then back to a regular wolf that during the day that just has that experience now.
Well, that's a pretty unique scenario there.
So it's like the inverse. That's actually pretty clever.
Thank you.
I feel like that'd be like a perfect manga like plot.
Yes, I treasure this character so much. I do plan to do something with him in the future, but I've got a couple other projects to focus on at the moment.
So it sounds like you have a lot of great ideas, like a lot of great concepts that you're working on. So I really hope you get into it more and create it, because it you know, that's the only drawback with being a creative person is you've got so many ideas and you just want to just do them all.
Absolutely. Luckily, I'm able to get a lot of practice in both my own time and being having art as my second source of income gives me plenty of opportunities to practice.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's the ideal setup to mm-hmm. be able to be given all that time to be able to work on what you want to create and also like commissions or other ways of generating income through it too. That's awesome.
You do take commissions, right?
Yes, I'm working on a few right now. I have a very lovely commissioner who's working with me to make a 13-page comic of his OCs.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, nice.
But doing commissions is something I really enjoy. I love being able to draw other people's characters and see how much love they put into them and just help them have more of that character they can look at and share with friends.
Well, that's awesome. So your commissions are currently open?
Yes, they are. They're basically always open since I have some disabilities that prevent me from working a real full-time job. So my commissions are pretty much open all the time except for like Christmas.
Cool. So if anyone is listening and is interested in getting commission done from Sweet Bow, be sure to hit them up.
Absolutely. My drawing rules are I'll literally draw anything except dirty diapers. That's my only limit. So everything else is fair game.
Yeah, it's a pretty broad like a variety of art you can get from Sweet Bow. So that's pretty cool.
I just really love drawing. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I remember in one episode with Angie Imagines, she was talking about how she likes doing commissions of a variety of different things because it challenges her. So it sounds like that might be the case for you too.
Absolutely. I once had someone commission one of their three-headed dragon OCs. That was definitely one of the more difficult ones I've done, but it was very interesting and fun to work on.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Are each of the heads their own personality? That's usually how those OCs go.
I think so. It was quite a couple of years ago, so I don't quite remember it anymore, but I remember having a lot of fun with it.
Nice.
I have been doing commissions for probably about 6 years now.
Oh, so you've actually been doing it a decent amount of time then.
Yeah.
So when did you join Bragg,
I don't remember. I know I had an account like a year or two ago, and then kind of forgot about it and then picked it back up after I got banned from Twitter a bunch of times, and I just haven't left since.
Yeah, that makes sense that you'd look back to Bragg after getting banned on Twitter. What often happens?
I actually got banned from Twitter over a commission that I drew for someone, so it wasn't even my own OCs that got me banned.
So was it a Lolly or Shota image?
Yes, it was a big sister, little sister commission.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. And I looked one day at it, like, after being offline for the night, after going to bed, and it had, like, 500 likes, and I went, uh-oh, and then I got banned.
Yeah, I love how that's the metric that you have to follow as a Lolly Shota artist on Twitter. You're just like, you just go, this is a suspiciously high amount of likes. Oh, banned. There we go.
Yep. It got out of my circle and the Twitter masses did not like that.
Yeah. But it does go to show how popular Lolly and Shota can really be.
Yeah, that's kind of the point, right, that I'm kind of making is that it goes to show that it is popular. People do like it, but it's like if it gets to the wrong crowd, then all they got to do is just report you, and then that's it. It's the fun's over, the no fun zone.
Yeah, I had a pretty dedicated couple people who would track down my new accounts and report them. So I was like, I truly don't need this.
Yeah.
Nope.
And you know what? Best thing that ever happened to me. I'll say it again. I love that I'm no longer allowed on Twitter. I'm so excited to be having more time and opportunities to really, like, go down and work on making my brag as good as I want it to be this year.
Well, being on the podcast will definitely help with that.
I hope so. I super appreciate you guys reaching out at all. It was really nice.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone go check out Sweet Bow's brag right now.
Yes. As you're listening to the episode right now, you better go on there.
Compliment my OCs. They need it. They're so lonely.
Yeah, and they've been put through a lot.
Yes, baby. if you don't show them some love, they're going straight back in the trauma box.
Oh, no.
It's like you must, it must reach this many boosts, otherwise they go in there.
Yeah, they're like being held hostage.
80 boosts or Desmond goes back in the grinder.
So speaking of, like, what can you tell us about your OCs, or are there any OCs you'd like to talk about?
Oh yeah, definitely. But you know, the thing about OCs, and I'm sure a lot of creators can relate to this, is that as soon as someone asks about them, all the information leaves and all you can do is rotate a JPEG of them around in your mind.
Yep, just goes blank.
Yeah, I got this OC. They're pretty cool.
They're pretty cool. He's got green eyes and he is my special boy.
And their name is, I'll get back to you on that.
Exactly. I will say I've gotten a few people on in my social circle as well, and on Brog and Imp Bunny show a lot of interest in me developing my OCs more, and that has been so much motivation to really flesh them out and work on them and really focus on them. So I think anything I can show you with my art will be so much more impactful than anything I can tell you with my fumbling words.
See, now that is super cool. And it kind of goes to show that that's the reason why it's great to have, you know, people who think, oh, well, you know, I really want to support this artist, but I don't have the financial means to do so. Well, it's not just the financial stuff is its own thing. If you just are complimenting or giving feedback on OCs or their art or like their stories or their writings, that in itself can be a gigantic, well, it is frequently a big motivator for that creator. And so I think that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. I will say to you guys and the podcast listeners that I look at every single Barag and Ink Bunny notification, and I appreciate every single like and boost and comment. They all mean so much to me.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, it's the same with Dr. X and myself. I mean, we look at every comment on our podcast, every person that likes it and boosts it. I mean, we really appreciate it because, you know, the more our podcast gets boosted, you know, the more people get to listen to it and listen to an episode like this, and they'll get like encouraged by, you know, possibly being on here as a guest themselves, or just hearing, you know, some of the stories of creators like yourself, where you know, how you're able to basically have like a secondary income or just enjoy the actual art you create.
Exactly. And there's so much that can be told and shared through art and storytelling that I think that just like as a society, we just really need to bring back storytelling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. We do. I mean, you know, that's why I laugh when, you know, earlier you were saying just like, well, you know, it's I don't have the means to have a real job. And I'm just like, look, creating creative stuff and artwork stuff, that is a real job, because I mean, look at how much people love entertainment and love stories and movies and anime and video games. It's like that is a real legitimate job.
Absolutely. I was born to post hole on the timeline, not work customer service.
Yes, I'm the same.
Me too. If I prefer the stuff I'm doing now than the retail stuff or whatever.
Oh God, or food prep.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in food prep, you know, man, bless you, because it is that is one of the hardest. Customer service and retail and food prep are just, those are some of the most difficult jobs to work. So, you know, if you're like an artist or a creative person and you want to like escape from that, it's definitely possible to do it.
Oh yeah, I worked food service from ages 5 to 20, and I think that's enough food service to last me 6 more lifetimes.
I was just about to say, yes, it is. Yes. Yes, it is. I had to work at Toys R Us for several summers, and let me tell you, that is an experience I never want to repeat ever.
Oh, absolutely. I have the restaurant employee childhood where I worked in the family business, and boy, that is not it. I think I'm just going to draw forever now.
Yeah, I love how art and other content creation like that can empower people who would really not be a good fit for other certain types of jobs. So that's one reason why it's important to support various different content creators and artists. And I think it's especially true for people like the people who make Lolly and Shota art, especially important for us to support them.
Absolutely. And a lot of people feel like they maybe don't want to, like, they're kind of shy with their support. But even if you leave like a little emoji in the comments, that can make an artist's day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Even just doing a simple like or you know, it does motivate that, you know, it's great. And, you know, now that there's, I mean, with the Subscribestar and Fanbox and like those things have absolutely completely changed the landscape for creative people, especially Lolly and Shota creators, because I mean, think about what what avenues of revenue or income was there for Lolly and Shota creators prior to those platforms? Very, very limited, if non-existent.
Absolutely.
We had a brief stint on Patreon with our Ancestral Awakening Straight Shota game. Before that was banned from there. We couldn't post it anymore.
Yeah. I just opened my Subscribestar a couple days ago, so hopefully I'll have that looking nice and clean soon.
Nice. Sweet.
Awesome.
I love Subscribestar.
Yeah. I'll be putting all of my sketches and work in progress pieces there. It's a good thing to follow because I only finish about half of my sketches.
That's the life of an artist.
Yep. But they all go on Subscribestar one way or another.
Yeah, well, it's great doing this podcast because it's a way for us to give back to the community as well. Because I was just thinking about this because we were talking about how important it is for people to leave comments for an artist. And kind of almost feels like podcast is doing that, but like with voices. One thing I enjoy about the podcast is because I really like that. It feels very affirming. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm also very excited. This is the first ever podcast I have been on.
Yay.
I think that's the case for many, many of our other guests. Yes.
I mean, what other podcast can you be on and talk about how much you love Lolly and Shota and all that other stuff?
Fair point.
So you're providing everyone who's on that opportunity. And it's not just good for the guests that are on, but also the people who are listening. And you know, it might be the first time they've heard someone with their voice talking about how they're into Lolly and Shota or other taboo kinds of art. And, you know, how it's perfectly okay. And we're
absolutely. And I'm sure many other people are really looking forward to that mental health episode. Because, listen, if drawing Lolly and Shota or like dark kinks or incest or whatever makes you feel better, then that means you're doing a good thing for yourself and that you should enjoy it and let yourself be happy.
Yes, exactly.
100%.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, that episode will be very interesting and we will be very affirming in that episode as well that if drawing or making content of whatever fetish or genre of art you like works out for you and helps you, then it's all good. That's great.
Absolutely. My only advice I can ever give to any artist is if you're in a space where people are making you feel bad, leave that space. And if the drawing makes you happy, keep drawing it. It's the two big rules.
Oh, I completely agree. And that's why I think it's so important for people into certain fetishes or genres, such as Lolly and Shota, but also just like the umbrella taboo art sphere, that they they make connections with other people, they make friends, and they have people to communicate with who won't like be all judgy and stuff like that, and might even be into the same stuff as you.
Absolutely. I have met a couple of my current best friends through Lolly Shota Art and on Barag.
Oh, awesome.
I met one of my current best friends through a creative class, which I found on Barag, which is like art fight for people who draw darker art, like Lali Shota art. And it's just been wonderful.
Oh, what did you say it was called?
It's X Creative Clash X is what you would look up on Google to find it. They have a really, really wonderful verification process to keep dangerous people out. They have an annual art fight event where you do art trades for points for your team. It's very fun, and I believe they host mini games year-round.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It is very cool. I will link you the website after this podcast.
And you said you were getting married, so does your future spouse is okay with all the stuff you do?
Absolutely. He draws it as well, and he does not have an account yet because he wants to refine his style. But as soon as he drops that art, you know I'll be blogging the hell out of it.
That's awesome. You found someone that's who's okay with this. Not only okay with the stuff you do, but makes similar stuff as well. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Happy for you.
He contributes a lot of feedback to my art and a lot of encouragement, and I adore him.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a third thing to consider with the mental health thing that you were mentioning is if you can find a community of like-minded or people who do enjoy the art you create, then absolutely stick with that community and join it.
Absolutely.
Because that's beneficial to your mental health too. Because, you know, when you find other creators or just other people who are fans of what you enjoy, that really helps your mental health significantly.
People accepting what you do is very nice. Having people love and enjoy what you do can really change your life.
Yes, it can. Yep.
And I do want to do an episode of Shalicast where we go over the different websites you can go on to find people who not only accept what you do, but also like what you do too. Because I know there might be some people who don't know about all the different websites you can go on. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to is letting people know about all that stuff. Because sometimes it can feel like knowledge of the community can be a little disjointed. So I'm looking forward to helping solidify that a little more.
Absolutely, and I will definitely recommend everyone go check out Creative Clash as well after they listen to this, because you can meet so many nice people on there just drawing art for each other.
And that's awesome that you mentioned that, because I can now list that as a website. As you said, they're okay with Lol and Shota.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. I learned something very, very new and topical.
Mm-hmm. They don't advertise. It goes purely through word of mouth from one Lali Shota enjoyer to another to keep it safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
And also it's run by a very small team of people who are very dedicated.
Oh, cool.
See, that's good, because they're probably very passionate about it.
They're very passionate and very helpful.
Sweet. That's awesome.
I think you mentioned that you might be also be writing and putting out some stories in the future.
Yes, I will. I am posting my first original writing of my original character soon. I'm currently drawing a little cover page for it.
Oh, some art for it too. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I can't write something without drawing something for it. I've got to go all the way. I don't know how to do anything halfway. I'm a bit insane about it.
No, I get that feeling.
Is there anything you'd like to say about your story ahead of time?
I will say that it's very one-shot-ish right now, but it is part of a bigger project. I'm not going to mention anything about it right now because it's still in the works, but I would recommend checking it out and definitely reading the tags, since I do mention that I write a lot of darker kinks. I highly encourage anyone to look at the tags of the stuff that I'm writing before you read it.
Yeah, that's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be on AO3, right?
It will be, yes.
Yes, AO3 has a very nice tagging system that really enables people to curate their experience. So if they see tags that they like, they can read it. If they see tags they don't like, then they can avoid it. So I really like that.
Yeah, that there needs to be more of that.
Absolutely.
Really good comprehensive tagging systems that are properly tagged.
Oh yeah, AO3 has the best tagging system I've ever seen.
E621 has a very good tagging system as well, I feel.
Yeah, they do.
Feels very meticulous there about the tags, which I appreciate.
Absolutely.
Are there any video games that you've been playing either recently or in the past that where there's like a Lolly or Shota character that you like?
Oh my gosh, I am absolutely obsessed with the little tiefling characters in Baldur's Gate 3. Matisse is my special boy. He robbed me once. I love him. He's actually robbed me several times. I have at least 8 files and I've only caught him robbing me once. It's not a high check to catch him robbing you. I just always keep failing it. I think my character is too enamored looking at him that we don't notice that we're getting pickpocketed.
It's that Shota charm.
It's that Shota charm always gets me. He always pickpockets me. And one time the game glitched, so I couldn't complete the quest to get my stuff back.
Well, we've encountered some funny glitches in Baldur's Gate 3 ourselves.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, like the time just went back to camp and the game just like removed all our clothing for some reason. Everyone was suddenly naked.
Oh, that's really fun. That's a good one.
Yes.
I cannot wait for the Lolly Shota community to finally make like mods where you can play as a Lolly or Shota character and then like romance the other characters.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I lost who it was, but I have seen someone working on it.
Yes, I think someone is working on it, but I can't remember their name, but I'm really excited for it.
There's a thread for it on ATF, so hopefully all that goes well.
Yes, I was just about to mention All the Fallen. I love them.
Oh, I'm glad you know about them.
Yes, they have helped me. People on there have helped me fix my horribly broken mods on my Sims files so many times. They're probably sick of me by now.
Yeah, there's a pretty big Sims 4 modding community on ATF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned those like Shota tieflings from Baldur's Gate 3, because I remember playing Baldur's Gate 3 with Hydro, and I remember mentioning to him, like, these Shota characters and Lolly characters, there's going to be a certain group of people who really fucking like them.
Listen, Mole could beat me up and I'd thank her.
I like Mole a lot, too. Maybe I might end up doing it myself because I've been looking into this sort of stuff, but if people can port her over to Daz or Blender to make porn of her, I would really like that.
Yeah.
She's a great character.
That would be incredible. I think you should do it.
I have to say, you know the clothing they wear and there's like you can kind of peek into their chest a little bit?
Yes.
Yes.
I really like that.
Matisse has the lowest V-neck shirt I've ever seen on a character. Good for him.
That might have something to do with why you like him. Yeah, the flat chest really does it for me.
Absolutely. I thought Matisse was a Lolly for my first 2 playthroughs, and I learned he was a Shota, and I was like, I love him just the same. He's perfect.
Just a lot of great characters in that game.
I think you can even tell like just a little bit of pectoral muscles from the Lolly and Shotas, and I think that really helps as well.
It's such beautiful character design. It's truly so amazing.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to finishing it with... We're in Act 3 right now.
I'm also in Act 3, but my file got corrupted and I had to restart. But that's all right. I enjoy the game so much and I'm not even that mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's a super great game. I mean, it's one of those games that doesn't come along very often. It's like one of those, you know, once every 10 years kind of games that totally revamps or totally sets a new standard for how a particular genre, in this case, like the tactical RPG kind of game, like just totally changed the landscape with it.
Absolutely. I played Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance on the PS2 way back in the day, and man, they've come a really long way.
Did you ever play Baldur's Gate 1 or 2?
I have not. I've only ever played Dark Alliance.
Baldur's Gate 3 is basically like a spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. I mean, it is a sequel, but it's done by different people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many like convenience factors to Baldur's Gate 3. It's it's not totally easy to recommend Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, but if you're really into the kind of world, it might be good to recommend it. There's definitely some references in Baldur's Gate 3, like Minx and Jahira.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that they came from the first two games.
I love it when games do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like it when they pay homage to the past games. So it'll be very interesting to see what people come up with for Lolly and Shota mods for Baldur's Gate 3. And it does help if you can play as a halfling, like I am. I'm playing a halfling in Baldur's Gate 3. That there's those animations that you could potentially use for a mod that includes sex and stuff.
Lots of possibilities there.
Yes.
And because with the halfling animations, you're already part of the way there.
Yeah.
With being able to adapt them. So it makes it pretty easy there. I mean, there's still probably going to be different little weird like clipping issues and stuff you'd still have to work out, but you've got a template.
Yep. Get a place to start from. Did you mention that glitch?
No, but that glitch was amazing.
Yeah, I was playing as a halfling, romancing Shadowheart, and there's this little scene where you're like on this cliff or high place, laying down, looking at the stars or something, or cuddling.
Oh, that first one where you're drinking wine with her, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's for some reason you're in the cutscene. And Hydra was there. We were playing online.
Oh man!
So my funny. Character, like out of frame, started creeping into frame, and like just very slowly moving towards Shadowheart, but with his arm kind of cupped, and then eventually like it moved over her breasts a little bit, and like looked like it was him massaging a little bit, and then he went back out of frame again.
But he did it like very slowly. It was just like, oh, I guess it's kind of awkward. I gotta, but it looped. It kept looping, kept doing that over and over. And it was one of the funniest glitches, by far my favorite glitch that I saw in the whole game so far.
Man, that wasn't a glitch. That was his personality.
That's what made it so great, though, because the game was just stuck like that. Like you had to click something for him to proceed foot forward. But if you didn't, he would just continuously like keep moving his arm over her breast and then be like, oh, then no, I guess I shouldn't. And they go, well, but on the second thought.
That's beautiful.
It was really great. I love that stuff.
Oh, there's also that glitch where. So Hydra with his character, he's romancing Karlak, but then he talked to Gale, and Gale's like, I see you've been talking to Karlak, and and acting as if Hydra's character had been like romancing Gale already, and like Gale's like, well, it's fine if you found someone else.
Wow, Gale, really embarrassing.
And I like Gale. I think Gale's a super cool character. But it was really funny to see that happen. Oh, well, that also happened with Halsin too, right? Sort of.
It was a different thing with Halsin. Halsin was just like, I think I can tell that you have feelings for me. And we're like, what?
We're just like, no.
Like we barely even talked to you.
Bro, I think you're projecting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well. First of all, like Dr. X and I were convinced that Halsin was perfectly content with his Shota forest boy that he had.
Yes.
So we were just kind of like, yeah. Well, that's the reason why he's keeping that little boy around.
So true.
That boy left. So that's why Halsin was probably like, all right. So I'll just pick some other male person.
The size difference. Possibilities for Halsin and halflings is so funny and so fun and beautiful.
Yeah, I remember joking when we were playing in Act 2 that Halsin was totally fucking that little boy character.
Oh, absolutely. Totally... I thought the same thing when I saw that when I was playing Act 2. Me and my fiance were talking about it together. We were like, oh, so those two get freaky for real, for real.
I'm glad we're not the only ones who thought that. They're like always together, and we're joking that like Halsin was would like say to the player like, okay, you can go now. I have a some important business to do with this boy here. So if you can just go.
Well, I have important forest business to work with. you can leave.
And I think there is even a part where he's just like, oh yeah, he's resting in my tent right now. And I'm just like, really?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, he does say that.
I'm just like, I see, resting, yes. that's how Dr. X and I knew what we knew what he was doing in there.
Yeah, listen, Halston, what you and that small boy do in your tent is none of my business. And I was playing a drow who could clearly care less.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, you can play as a drow. You couldn't do it in the first two Baldur's Gates.
I was playing a drow who's just the worst cleric ever.
I'm playing as a bard, what's the name of the
Githyanki as a species.
Githyanki bard. So I'm like the nicest Githyanki around.
Pretty much.
Most entertaining Githyanki.
Yes, my fiance is also playing a Githyanki bard named Uncle. Shout out to Uncle.
it works pretty well for Hydro's character, the Githyanki character. He has this idle animation where he like looks very like having his hands together in front of him. Like, do you know that idle animation that the Githyanki have?
Yes, I do.
So Hydra's playing a very like very good like goody two shoes character, so looks very polite. It's so funny because Githyanki are like they're like their culture is so like violent and you know like warrior culture.
Which was funny because like part of the I didn't actually pay too much attention to that when I chose the Githyanki race.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like, oh, they're actually supposed to be ruthless. Oh, okay. Well, my character's not.
My character is just a silly guy.
Pretty much.
And it was funny because we pretty much ignored Lazelle throughout most of the most of the campaign. And anytime Lazelle was with us, I would always choose something that she wouldn't necessarily like.
Yeah.
I forgot to save Lazelle my first playthrough.
She just remained in the cage forever. Nice.
No, if you go back to the cage, it's empty and she's just dead.
Oh, she was just dead? I thought she got out.
Yeah, I thought she escaped, but oh, interesting.
She escapes, but there's like blood under the cage and you just never see her again. Like, we got all the way to Act 3 and she was just gone.
Oh, she's probably fucking eaten, goddamn.
Wow.
So. Yeah, there's so many choices in Baldur's Gate 3, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and different consequences.
I mean, the standard that they have set now. I mean, BioWare is probably crying in a corner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Unless they can come back with the next Dragon Age, but I'm not holding my breath, but I am hoping it will be decent. So we'll just have to see.
We'll just all wait and see.
There have been some Shota models taken from BioWare games that have been used a lot for like Blender animations and stuff. So we'll see. Maybe there'll be a new Lawler Shota character from the new Dragon Age game or Mass Effect game.
Oh, that's true.
So that was a great time with you, Sweetbo. So if people want to see your stuff, where can they find your stuff?
I am under Sweetbo on both Brag and Ink Bunny. So sweet like a candy and Bo like the Animal Crossing character. No spaces, no dashes.
Sweet. And as we talked about before, your commissions are currently open.
Yes, they are.
So anyone who's looking to get some art, be sure to check out Sweetbo's stuff.
Absolutely. I love to draw and I'd love to draw for anyone here.
Awesome.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I had such a great time.
Yeah, it was great having you and talking about all this different stuff and talking about art. Was a very good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you. It's something I'm very passionate about and I love talking about it.
Yep. Yeah, we do too. We love talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you for coming.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much again.